There's a lot of power in those two words. The power to convey determination, to set a direction, and to determine our future. For AGWM, there are two crucial variations of the words, God's will and our will. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to give us power to do his task. He also said, I will return. Jesus is doing amazing works around the world. He is building his church through the World Assemblies of God Fellowship. Think of this. Every 51 seconds, another person comes to Christ in one of our churches. And every 180 minutes, another church is started in the hardest places, behind closed doors, among secular people, in the Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish, animist, and Hindu worlds, the church is being established. But God just doesn't do this work apart from his people. We also need to say, I will pray as a missionary intercessor. I will give to the World Missions Division. I will go where the Lord compels me. For this year ahead, my message is simple. Can we all, working as one team, come together and determine in our hearts and personally say, yes, Lord, here am I. I will do whatever you have called me to do. After 40 years in missions, one thing I know, Jesus will build his church and he will use us to do his task.
I don't know if you, did you catch that? Every 51 seconds around the world, someone in one of our churches globally is coming to new faith in Jesus. Every 51 seconds. How does that happen? Our national missions director, Greg Mundus, just said how God uses his people who he's already saved to bring others to saving faith in Jesus. He reaches people through us, through his church. We are honored to support as a church family missionaries that we are praying for, that we are giving to, that we are supporting, and even some that we are sending. So it's my thrill to introduce you to one of them who we are going to adopt this year, brand new, and actually they are local here from our city of Syracuse, a sister church, but they are headed to another term in Western Nepal. So I would love to introduce you to Manoj. Manoj is here local, and he's going to explain to you what his mission is, who he is, and what he's doing in Western Nepal. Would you welcome him today? Come on, Manoj. Now, after we're done here, he is quizzing you on how to pronounce his name. So on your way out the door, aren't you giving stuff away to those who get your name correctly? Never mind, don't let me distract you. Manoj, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning. So I mess up like other people's name here. So you can mess up my name too. So that's okay. So most of the time people do have a hard time to pronounce my name. So I just tell them my nose. That means like, you know, nose is the pride. So I'm your pride. You can just say my nose. So I am sad that my wife could not be here today. My wife, she was just throwing up yesterday. And my daughter, she has been having fever. So she misses, you know, she really wanted to be here with you all, that she could just relate with you people in a better way. And when she is not here, I'm like a cat, very fearful. You can't see I'm fearful inside, but I'm really fearful. My wife is my strength. Most of the time people say, the Lord is my strength. I just tell my wife is my strength. So if your wife is happy, if she is doing well, life is good. So I just want to take this time and just want to, you know, thank you, Mrs. Rekwal. And thank you, Pastor Dan, for having us here. And most of the time, when I walk into the churches, if I see the church is beautiful, and that means the pastor wife is doing a good job. And most of the time, people, they just like, you know, see the pastors, but the pastor's wife who does amazing work behind the scene, most of the time, they are not recognized by the body of Christ. And I would normally suggest people, if you love your pastor, you better pray for his wife. If she is doing well, he will be fine. So just like keep on praying for your pastor if you want your church to be, you know, get into another level. So, and I just want to, you know, take this time, thank the cell group, Ryan and Tori's cell group. Other day they came and, you know, sifted us like from our in-laws' home to Lafayette. And my wife especially told me to thank Tim and Mike. Thank you for your hand. And that again shows Pastor Dan had taught them very well to help out community. So we are thankful for that. I'm not trying to flatter here, but I love this church. Why do I love this church? Because before even I walked into this church, I was just like going through the messages, like, you know, what Pastor Dan has been teaching. And at the same time, just like going through the website. And I found, I just wanted to introduce ourselves, like, you know, Christina and I. Christina is a part of Life Church Syracuse. And as she was growing up, you know, with her peers, like many young, nice people, they came together along with her, like, and they proposed her to marry. And only one question she asked with them was, are you willing to go to India? And most of the people, they just said, no, like, I want to be a pastor in the U.S. And she said, okay, that means you are not for me. And Christina and I, look, she is, like, taller than me. I mean, if we stand together, many times people, they cannot pretend actually we are husband and wife. And for me, it was a, you know, kind of very humiliating experience that I never wanted to get married with a woman who is taller than me. It's like, you know, heaven kissing earth. Heaven and earth, they don't come together. So, but it one thing like united us, brought us together in a marriage relationship because we were passionate about only one thing, that is mission. We dreamed about mission at the age of 16, I left my home, become a believer, and came to the church, and he started to work as a handy boy who is mopping the floor, just like wrapping up the wires, like, you know, musical instrument, putting into some places. I worked in a church as a handy boy at the age of 16. All I wanted to do was serve the Lord with my whole heart. And when we came together, we realized, that's it. We are for each other. One thing united us, that was mission, because we were passionate about mission. And we deeply love people. So she and I, we often talk like nothing matters in life. Like, you know, money, position, wealth, beautiful house, nice cars. I often tell people these things are like a toilet paper. We use them and flush it, never think twice. But when it comes about people, they are precious. We don't use people. We love them. We value them. We treasure them. So that drives us, you know, to go to mission field. We believe, this is just right from your website. We believe that by our genuine faith in Jesus, God transforms us into a new identity. We are now a family of missionary servants, sent as disciples who make disciples. So we are Antioch model of missionaries who are sent by the church, sent by the local body to do mission. So believe me or not, we are Prazuli families. We exactly fit into your statement. reach out to the unreached, seek for the lost, bring healing to the wounded, teach the truth with love, live out for the community, focus on one life at a time, adopt many children as much as we can adopt them for the sake of kingdom. People say disciples, like, but we go a little beyond disciple. We own them. We bring them in our home. We live with them. We eat with them. We just play with them. We teach the truth. We do have devotion with them. We raise them as our own children that we could actually transform, pass our DNA into them, that they will do exactly what we were doing or what we are doing. We want to replicate ourselves. When we are dead and gone, they will be carrying the torch. So why India and Nepal? India and Nepal collectively have 1.3 billion population with various religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Jainism, and lots of thousands of gurus every corner. They have their own philosophy to motivate people and overwhelming poverty. 2,440 unreached people group, which is one-third of the unreached population, exist in India. That's why we are in India and Nepal. We've been married 4 years. 1 year we spent in the United States, and I regret. I don't want to be here. Very uncomfortable place for me to be. But 1 year we spent, within these 3 years since we got married, we were able to have 4 boys into our home. We were able to start like our home fellowship in our home. And out of those 4 boys, 2 boys, we have been sponsoring them to go to theological college. So they are doing bachelor in theology, 2 of them in a seminary now. And 1 girl we adopted from Nepal, not officially adopted, means like foster them, like we take care of her. And we put her into master's degree. She's doing MD, master's in divinity in a college. So throughout this, what we realize, bringing these young people and investing in their life is raising up leaders for the unreached people group. So we picked like these boys and young girls and boys like from these different parts of, you know, areas, having the mindset that one day we're going to send them back. And we want to grow in number. We want to adapt within the 5 years, 50 young boys and women like to send to the seminaries. That's our goal. So we already started, we are 3, and we want to do that like 50 young men and women in the times of 5 years. Vision for Nepal, we are in the verge of, we were based in India. We don't say like we left India. We are just shifting our base from India to Nepal. So what we are doing is we were in India, we were planting a church, Bible school in western part of Nepal. The Bible school is almost ready. And you won't believe some of the people, they came to us and like to say, here is a $40,000, just one person. Here you go, build it. So we have invested tons of money into it, and it's in the verge of like giving birth. So we will be going from here to western part of Nepal to start Bible school. So where we will able to have 30 young men and women to whom we're going to send, these boys, we're going to send them for high school and at the same time diploma in theology. Within the 2 years, they will finish their high school and diploma in theology, and we will provide some kind of skills that they will be trained for some kind of trade as well. So we just want to develop them in a holistic approach, not only the education, but they have a skill to survive and just do the mission work. So at the same time, we just want, because we feel like, you know, life is very short and we don't have that much time. Within the period of time, within the five years period of time in the western part of Nepal, we want to start a church planting movement. So what we are visioning, dreaming to bringing people from the interior parts of Nepal for 3 days in the center where we will be teaching them and then training them and send them back into their villages to teach the same thing what they have learned being in 3 days. So that cycle will, you know, rotate for 2 years, and within the period of 2 years, they will able to acquire the knowledge equivalent to the diploma in theology. And at the same time, we will provide some kind of financial assistance to them that they will able to sustain in their in their places and do the house church planting. What is mission? Many people, they give definition about mission in various ways. But I would put like this way. Mission is the heart of God. That's what somebody said. And I put this statement a little further, and I just say, mission is the heart of God which beats in the midst of the church. And the church is the body, church is the bride of Christ. And when that heart is beat stops in the church, I will tell you, surely the church will die. The church exists. Church is alive because the mission, the very core of the church, is beating in the midst of the church. The moment it stops, church will die. Many times, people misunderstand about mission. The moment we think about mission, we just think about uttermost part of the world. But the mission starts here. If you don't do mission in home, you will not be able to do mission in abroad. Most of the time when missionaries like from the West, they come to our country, and I ask them one question. What did you do as a mission in your church, local church? And if they just give me, you know, snowman ice, the frosty snowman ice answer, and I just tell them, oh boy, like, you know, in my heart, I think, oh boy, the sun will beat on you, and suddenly you will disappear as if you were never existed in that place. Many, many missionaries I know, they came and they melted away like frosty men as if they never existed in that particular place. So if you don't do mission here, you will not be able to do mission in abroad. I would like go a little bit some extent, and I would even, you know, talk with the pastors in the church, and I would just never support those kind of like missionaries because it's a waste of money and waste of their life. So we follow missionary God. I'm running out of time. We follow missionary God. You know, the God who just seeks for one lost. The mission, if we just look into the chapter 15, Luke, it just says mission is about one lost sheep. Mission is about one lost coin. Mission is about one lost son. It is a pleasure as a missionary to find a lost son and bring it to the Father. And it is a fragrance. Today, what happened here? It is a fragrance to the God. He just delight in that. We were talking about just do something, you know, throughout this 4 week. I just want to encourage, like most of the people, they must be thinking, like, what is just do something means? Like, just do something. Something is means one thing. Something means one thing. At least start like doing one thing. God, our God, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. Means giving is God's nature. You want to identify with God? You want to become like Jesus? Jesus gave his life. I'm not asking to give your life. But start giving something to the Lord. Start, like, it something means one thing. Sometimes people despise, like, one. But the mission is all about one. If you start, like, you know, leaping a faith of, like, giving $1, you are doing something. And it's like a faith, you know, stepping on a faith. Jesus gave the parable. If you have a faith, and if you tell the mountains to, you know, fall down onto the sea, it will happen to you. If you have a faith, if you just sow one mustard seed, even in the cracks of the rocks, the mustard seed will grow. It has a power that it will crack the mountains, and the rocks will fall onto the mountain, onto the sea. So, your small faith of like giving just $1 can crack the mountains, can make a huge difference in people's life. When we go, we go with the attitude, with one thing having in our mind that we will never come back. And people who has gone with that attitude has been burnt alive. Grindstone, a missionary, doctor missionary from Australia, came to India, the place called Orissa. And they were camping on the side of the ocean. The whole big mob came and just attacked on them. They tried to save themselves and got into the car. They poured the kerosene gas onto the car, and they burnt alive. The 10-year-old boy and a 7-year boy, and with the father, three of them were burnt alive. Many times, you know, Augustine said, like, you know, the church, the blood of the martyr is seed for the church. Gospel comes free, but people, they do pay price. Maybe you are not paying price, but we are paying price. Missionaries in the around the world, they are paying the price. Many times it doesn't even come in the news. The voice of the martyrs has been silenced down. It's been crunched, but the heaven is witness. Heaven is witness, and heaven shouts, rejoice when we go into eternity. Eternity will reveal what we have done. It is all for one purpose, because we value people. Nothing matters. People.